Good evening. It's like Element PM all over again. I miss those days, kind of. I'm James. I work with the youth, if you don't know. Hello. today we're talking about talents, and it's kind of weird because normally I'm so used to like opening with a scripture, but I'm not doing that today, so it's kind of weird. Maybe we'll open with prayer. So will you guys pray with me? God, we just thank you for this time that we get to get together and talk about you. God, I pray that it would be educational, God, that we would learn, and more importantly, God, we would learn to better serve you, that we would use the gifts that you've given us, and we would glorify you through them, because they're already your gifts and your abilities, God. We just want to give back to you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today we're talking about talent. And in order to talk about talents, we first have to talk about family, because we're called to use our talents to help our family and to help our community around those, to benefit the church. Mark 3, 34 and 35 says, "And he, Jesus, looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and my sister and my mother.'" And so Jesus says that we are the family of God. We work together as his family. And family is not just one person doing life on their own. I was talking to Judy, and she sent Chicken, his name's Jacob, off to college. And I don't know if he has a dorm mate yet, but he will probably be quite lonely without his family around him. And I kind of felt bad for him because it's like, oh, you're kind of missing all that community when you go to a brand new strange place where you don't know very many people. And so that's not a great view of family. Family is together. Family is integrated into people's lives. I think the early church really understood this, and they ate together, and they prayed together, and they had people over, and they worshiped together, and they served together. It was this huge deal where everything was integrated with other people's lives. This is one of the reasons why we talk about gospel community so much, to really get involved in kind of this family aspect. You know, on a Sunday morning, there's 300 people who come through the door, 300 plus, even sometimes, you know, 350. It's really hard to be part of a family and to find your place in a family of 350 people. It doesn't quite work that great, but being involved in a family of 6, of 8, of 12, even 15 is a lot easier to connect and a lot easier to integrate your lives together. And so this is why we do GCs like we do, gospel communities. Of course, being part of a family means there are going to be people that will make you angry. I'm sure if you have kids or been around kids or just grown up with brothers and sisters, there will be people that will make you very mad. There will be people who will stay in their room all day, who never clean their room, who come down to the dinner table, eat, don't help with dishes, and go back to their room, and that's it. There will be those people that will drive you insane in family. And dealing with family, you're dealing with people, and people aren't perfect. But we move on because we love them. We give them correction out of love, not out of hatred, not out of bitterness, but out of love because they're family, and we move on to further spread the gospel. And so Element is a family. That's what we go for. There are different people of different backgrounds, of different ages, of different economic status coming together and working together as a family to further the gospel, to further Christ in our community. And that's what we have to do together. We should be unified by God's Spirit. Galatians 6:10 says this, "Therefore, we have as an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And so we go in community and try to be a blessing to all. Now, when I was growing up, I haven't watched the show in many years. I watched a show called Power Rangers. Did anyone else watch Power Rangers? Like a couple of you. Awesome. Did your kids watch Power Rangers? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And every Power Ranger episode, well, at least the good ones, there would be this crazy, like, weird dinosaur monster that just pops up out of nowhere and starts wreaking havoc on this city or town or high school for some reason. And the Power Ranger would mystically appear. And every episode, this is what would happen. It'd be like the Red Ranger, and he'd just go in and get his butt kicked, and the dinosaur would, like, breathe fire. And then it'd be the White Ranger that just rushes in. And then it'd be, like, the Yellow Ranger. And then the Black Ranger would follow shortly after because they were, like, romantically involved. And it was like, how dare you touch my woman. And then, like, the Pink Ranger and then the Blue Ranger. And then they'd all get their butt kicked, and they're like, what are we doing? Why can't we defeat this guy? And then one of them would be like, hey, it's morphin' time. And they'd be like, all right, that sounds good. And so they do this crazy, like, dance with their weapons and, like, combine their weapons together, and they turn into this huge ninja robot guy. I don't know how they turned into a ninja robot, but they did. And then they defeat this huge monster, and they'd be like, we win. Awesome. Kind of the idea with church family and using gifts and abilities together. Separately, yeah, you know that was good. Kind of that idea, where, yes, we all have our different abilities and different things that we can use, and sure, you can use them on your own, but it's really not as effective unless we're working together. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says this, just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all as many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, as to do from one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So there's many parts to a body. There's many parts of a family, and they're much more effective when they work together. I'm going to continue in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm starting in verse 21 this time. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with a special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while those presentable parts need no special treatment. For God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. The body works as a whole, not as independent. And I love this idea that he talks about in verse 26. It says, if one part suffer, every part suffers with it. And instantly when I think of that, I think of getting poked in the eye. Have you ever, like, got poked in the eye or had, like, something in your eye and you just cannot beat it? It distracts you. It's just like, it hurts and my whole body hurts and I have to rub my eye until I start crying, and you have to, like, justify to your friends why you're crying. It's like, I got something in my eye. I'm not crying. Or like, if your spouse decides that they're going to be a cover hog that night and they stole all the blankets or most of the blankets, and just your feet are sticking out and your feet aren't covered, and so your feet are freezing, and you're like, I hate this, because just my feet are cold, but I cannot fall asleep. Like, this is the worst. If one part suffers, the whole part suffered, the whole body suffers with it. I mean, I kind of think of, like, if Ryan was to just not show up on a Sunday morning, everyone would be like, well, that was the shortest service I've ever been to. Or even someone not on stage. Like, if people stopped cleaning the bathrooms, everyone would notice real quick. They'd be like, oh, maybe it's time to find a different church, or time to go before I come to church. This is weird. And it's this idea, we work together. We need to be unified, the body, the bride of Christ. These are all things that the Bible calls us to be. 1 Corinthians 12:4, got a lot out of 1 Corinthians 12. Therefore, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So people have different gifts and talents, but they all come from God. And the church longs to find these gifts and to put them to good work so that we can be more unified. I mean, you're going to be good at something that I am not good at. You're going to be good at something that the person next to you is not good at. And we've all been equipped with different things to serve God, all equipped with different talents. It's not like Jesus throws you into a football game without pads and without cleats and without a game plan and being like, well, have fun. And you're like, yeah, no. He gives us a plan and he gives us the equipment to succeed, to truly worship him. Philippians 1:3 says, I thank God every time I remember you. And in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until the day of completion, until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus starts a good work in us and we partner with him. We've all been given different gifts. It's kind of like what you talked about last week with money. How it's all God's money, we just give some back to him. The same is with the abilities that he's given us. It's God's gifting. It's God's abilities already. We just give back to him. And because we have different abilities, there's no kind of bragging rights in that. It's not like, well, I can do this and you can't do that, so I'm better than you. And it shouldn't be this idea where we're kind of coveting each other's gifts. Now, one of the saddest things I see in youth group and actually even in a lot of kind of adults that I have interacted with is that they long for a different spiritual gift that they have. They're like, well, I can't do this and this is what I really want to do, so I can't serve God. It's like, where did you get that idea? It's like, I can't teach, so I can't serve God. It's like, what? I'm not good with children, or I'm not good at music, and I can't sing, or I can't play guitar, so I can't serve God. And we get like jealous of these different gifts. And that's not at all how we're supposed to be. It's like God gives us these things and we look at it and we go, hey, God, that's not good enough for me. I want something else. Take back your gift and give me something else. And it's not how we should be treating God. And it's not how we should be viewing this altogether. God made you to worship him in a way that you can, in a way that the body and you contribute to the body of Christ. I kind of see it like this. Does anyone ever watch American Idol? I love American Idol. I watched the last season. It was glorious. I actually went to the finale and saw it live in person. I know. Very special. Okay, but has anyone seen like the very beginning episodes of American Idol where the people go and they're just awful singers and you're like, this is why I watch this show. This is why. What I love about like these first, you know, like 7 to 10 episodes is the people that come in and they take a deep breath to sing and then they stop and they go, before I sing, I just want to let you know that my mom thinks I am a great singer. And the judges are like, awesome. And they're like, and my friends really encouraged me to come here and I'm going to win this thing. And they're like, okay. Can you just sing now? We got a busy day ahead of us. And they sing, and it's awful. And it's the people that you're just like, oh, man, I don't want to laugh at you, but you put yourself on national television, so you gave me permission to. And it's like the judges aren't really trying to be mean. They're just trying to be honest. Like, hey, don't pursue music. You're not going to make it. It's not your gifting. You're never going to make money in this. You can love it, and that's great. But this is not your gifting. Just go home and figure out something else. And they get so angry. Like, how dare you say that to me? I'm a great singer. My mom is my biggest fan. And it's like, I'm just trying to be honest with you. Hey, this isn't what you're meant to do. And this is the opposite of how we should be. That we are to work together as one, complementing each other's different gifts. You will be able to do certain things that I won't be able to, and I will be able to do certain things that you won't be able to. But ultimately, we use those gifts to further serve God. And so I want to talk about kind of some of these gifts and some of these different things that God has given us and how we use them to further his kingdom and further his gospel. And to start, I want to talk about natural talents. If you brought your pamphlet thingy, you can open it up. That's where I'm going to be going from, but there's these things that called natural talents that God gives us, and they come from common grace, that everyone has some kind of natural ability to them. God has given them something from birth. It's like you are going to be good at something, or you're going to at least enjoy doing something. These are to benefit all of mankind on a natural level. They need to be recognized and then developed and then exercised. You know, if someone sits down at a piano and it's like, hey, you're pretty good at piano, their first time, they're probably not going to be that great, but they're going to have a joy in it. It's not like you're going to be able to sit down at a piano for the first time and play Mozart. It's just not going to happen, unless you're very, very special, in which case, you suck. And then, therefore, entertainment, therefore, instruction, all on kind of a natural level. And you see that a lot of times our natural talents are so closely related with our spiritual gifting. It doesn't necessarily mean that your natural talent will be your spiritual gifting, but they're very closely related. And spiritual gifts come from saving grace, and they're given at a point of new birth to benefit mankind on a spiritual level. Again, they must be recognized and developed and exercised. I got this kid right now in youth group who wants to be teaching and who wants to like get up on stage and give lessons and stuff. And he did it once and it was like, hey, you didn't pee yourself. You have a gift. And he's like, I do? And I was like, yeah, let's work on that. And so I'm meeting with him tonight and he's like, I don't know what to say. And I was like, I'm gonna help you out. But I'm telling you, man, you got a gift. Spiritual gifts are given to help further our worship of God and help Christians on a more spiritual level. And so I want to talk about some natural gifts, and I want you guys thinking about this. If you have your pamphlet, I want you to like underline or star or circle some of these different things. And I want you to think about how you relate to people, how you do relationships. A certain group of people are going to do what we call like multi-relational, and they're going to have lots of friends in lots of different areas. They're going to be like the social butterfly. On Sunday morning, they will make the round through this whole room saying hi to as many people as possible, and not just like hi, 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 but they're going to want to like sit and talk to people for a long time. Usually the people that are still standing and like on this side of the room when their chair's over here when Aaron gets on stage and is like, go sit down now. And they're like, oh, but one more person. There are going to be people like that. Usually these people are pretty comfortable in front of people and are decent public speakers. Maybe you don't relate to people at all like that, and that's not how you do relationships. Maybe you're more like a familiar group, and you have a small group or a couple small groups of friends, and that's who you talk with, that's who you interact with, and that's what you're comfortable with. You're comfortable in a small group. I used to tell people when we did the gospel class over in the staff lounge and there was a group of like four people and I was like, I would much rather like have a bigger room full of people than like four people and be in like a small group setting. I just don't feel super comfortable in a small group setting. And then there's singular relational, which is like you're great one-on-one. You have maybe a couple friends, but you're really, really close with those friends. This is how my wife is. I think I'm a multi-relational person, and my wife is a singular relational person. So when we first got married, it was very interesting because I was like, let's go out 5 nights a week and hang out with four different groups of friends and do all these things. And she's like, let's go out once a week. And I'm like, once a week? We're not going to have a social life. And she's like, well, you got married, and I'm your social life. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. But it was just very different. It took a while to get used to and kind of compromise on both our parts. And then we're going to communicate different. Clearly, these three different styles of relationships are going to communicate much different. Some people are going to be great with words. You like writing. You maybe like public speaking or teaching. Really, when you listen to music, you like the beat and everything, but really what you're listening is to the words, and you really kind of bond with words, and that's a great way to kind of express yourself. Maybe words don't mean much, and you are great at expressing yourself through performance. You like acting, you like singing, you like giving presentations and things like that, and that's a great way to express yourself, or maybe you're neither of those. Maybe you're more an artistic person. And you love to kind of paint and draw and write, or not write, but like play music. Maybe you're into cooking, and that's a great way to express yourself. You like graphic designs and colors and shapes and things like that, and that's just a way that you express yourself and a great way for you to communicate. And I think those things all kind of function and all kind of filter into some of our natural talents. And I just want to go through a few. And if you see some, just be like, oh, yeah, that's me. You don't have to raise your hand. That might be weird. But you'll probably really bond or really recognize a couple that you see in your own life. So some people are really good with organizing their time. Some people love spreadsheets. I am not one of these people, but they're really great. Fortunately, my wife is, so we make a great team. But they're really great with organizing and kind of things like that. Some people are great at being creative. They got a great imagination. They're great at inventing things and kind of thinking kind of different complexities and different things like that. Some people are great with leading others. You're totally comfortable in front of a group and leading others and planning and then managing people and delegating. Some like to use like hand and eye coordination. You're great at sports. You enjoy sports. Maybe you enjoy video games and you can, you know, actually play video games with your kids or something like that and they don't kill you all the time. Maybe really kind of a way that you are drawn to is helping others, and you like to tutor others, and you like to counsel others, and you like to be there for others. And that's a way that you kind of, just the way that God made you. Maybe you're persuasive. I am not persuasive at all. And so the first time I met my father-in-law and learned that he is the most persuasive man I ever met, it was really weird asking him if I could date his daughter. It didn't go so well, but he's great at negotiating and selling things, and I was like, man, that is a dangerous gift. You could really do damage with that. Please don't do any to me. Maybe you're great at observing details, and you are the kind of person who likes to correct people's papers, and like before you send an email, you're like, let me read that, and so you go through and correct all these different things. Maybe when like the weekly email update goes out, instead of like being the person that's like, hey, that email was really nice, you're like, hey, third word, you misspelt it, idiot, send. You know, maybe you're that person. That's just the way God made you, you know, it's good. Maybe it'd be nice. Maybe you're good at details and recording, and you can, you like tinkering with things, and you can take things apart and then put them back together. That's the key to this gift, is putting it back together. I liked to think that I had this gift, and I would take things apart and then try and put it back together, and then I'd have like 5 parts out there, and I was like, those were important, I think. Whatever. Whoops. Maybe you're great at research, and you just love to research things. Wikipedia is your best friend, and you just love to learn. My mother-in-law is like this. She knows everything about everything. And it's really hard to kind of like get in a discussion about her with her, because it often turns into a debate, and you're like, I'm way underqualified to be arguing for this. This is not going to go well for me. But maybe that's just the way you are. You love to learn things. Maybe you're great at, you know, making decisions, and you can do that, and you can take risks, and people will follow you. And those are all kinds of things that kind of different areas that different people are made in, and just kind of some of our natural gifting. And then so our natural gifting, again, just goes very, very similar to our spiritual gifting. So I want to go through some of the spiritual gifting with you guys. Are you guys seeing kind of some of the things that you are relating to? You're like, oh, that's me, or oh, yeah, that's him. I saw that a little bit. Or, you know, oh, that is definitely not me. That is what I find myself saying a lot more whenever I go through this. I'm like, that's definitely not me. Dang it. But you see that spiritual gifts help build up the church, establish fellow Christians, encourage Christians, and then honor the senior pastor, Jesus. That's not honor any of the pastors in the church. It's we're about honoring Christ. And so our spiritual gifts and our natural gifts kind of combined and intertwined to just make the life that we live. It's not two separate lives. It's not that I got my natural gifts over here and I use my natural gifts at work and I use my spiritual gifts at church. It's the two that are kind of intertwined and intermingled together that really just make the life we live. It's not two different lives that we live. We go for the one life, praising Jesus everywhere. And so one spiritual gift, kind of one that everyone goes for and wants, but not a lot have, is the gift of apostleship. And this is kind of what the church is built on. And I mean, these people are just great at like planting churches and speaking the word. And they kind of like is the jack of all trades. And they got evangelism and teaching and leadership and faith. And they're motivated by difficult tasks. And they're like, I want to do this. And just gung-ho. I would say Paul is definitely an apostle. If you've read about Paul, and he planted all kinds of churches and went on, you know, years at a time mission trip and planted churches and then developed leaders and did all this crazy, crazy stuff. A guy that I learned about from history, really cool guy, Hudson Taylor. He was this guy who went to school in Europe. He was a British guy and decided that he was going to be a doctor, got his doctorate and everything, and then decided, hey, I'm done with this. I'm going to go be a minister in China. And so he goes to China. And at one point, he talks to 58 different Chinese cities in 25 days. That's two a day plus a couple more. That's a lot of work. And then actually because of his mission trips and because of what he did, almost every Chinese Christian can chase their roots back to this man and kind of his work that he did there, which is phenomenal stuff, which is really cool. And then another gift is the gift of prophecy or prophets. And a lot of people go, oh, the gift of prophecy, I can see the future. Probably not. If you have the gift of prophecy, you probably might not be able to see the future. That might not be the way God speaks to you. Most of the time, I think it will be you are able to call people on sin. You see sin, you see error, and you have a desire to change that and to help people change that. I think a great example of a prophet is John the Baptizer. I love how Aaron describes it. It's been my favorite like interpretation of John the Baptizer. He's like standing in the water on a sugar high and kind of shaking, and like people are coming down to get baptized, and he's like, what'd you do? And he's like, I did this and this and this. What else? Because I know that's not it. He's like, I did this and this and this. Dunk. Next. What'd you do? And he just kind of yells at people, and he's like, you're a sinner. Repent. And they're like, duh. Oh, it makes sense now. I see everything clearly. And it's just kind of interesting. I think a great example of this from history is Charles Spurgeon. He got saved at age 16, and then entered into his first role as a pastor at age 17. Some of you have kids that are 17. Imagine coming to like Sunday service every week and a 17-year-old is your pastor. That'd be weird. That'd be very weird. Some of you are weirded out because I'm 23 and you're like, what the heck is this kid doing up here? 17. Yeah, nuts. At age 19, he was promoted to a church that sat 1,200 people. At the time, he kind of inherited this church. It had about 200 members. He grew this church to over 6,000 members. When they bought a new church and moved to a new facility, that facility had 20,000 members. And really what he did was just told people they were in sin. That was his big thing. He just pointed to people's sin and said, you need to repent. There is sin in your life. You need to repent. And people were like, duh, it clicks. It makes sense. I understand now. It's like, good. And it's just a great example. If you have this gift, you will probably be able to see error and feel compelled to tell people about their error. You will be bold for Christ. You will want to help others kind of do their best and seek Christ in their life. Just remember not to be super judgmental, and Jesus is a loving God while you tell people this. A great one is also evangelists. Evangelists are passionate about lost people. They want to see people get saved. They seek very honestly and earnestly to understand doubts that people have. And so do you enjoy talking with non-Christians? Can you actually have a discussion with a non-Christian about Christ without it turning into an argument? I think that's a big one, because I think a lot of Christians like to talk to non-Christians about Christ, and then it just turns into a fight and both sides walk away bitter. Can you have a conversation and walk away on peaceful terms and actually get your message across? I think if you can do that, you're someone who has this gift. Just remember in this to get people connected to Christ and then also to the church, because we talked about it's a family thing, and it's not good to just be connected to Christ and then not have that family, not have that community to come alongside you and to be part of that body. Another one is pastor-teacher. This one is oftentimes associated with elder. You see that Aaron is up speaking almost every week, but then there are also two other pastor elders in Element, and they're all pastors. They're all elders, and these people enjoy watching and nurturing and helping the spiritual growth of others. They want to study God's word, and they want to see others study God's word. They want to mentor others. Excuse me. Let's see here. Teaching is a great one. Do you enjoy studying and then telling people about what you learned? There are some people who will learn and then don't really like to communicate, are not very effective at communicating. I've talked to quite a few people who are really smart, but I learned nothing from them because they're not good communicators. And I was like, that is great. But do you want to see people be educated? I think John Calvin is a great example of this. He was converted to Christianity at the age of 23. At the age of 26, he wrote Institutes for Christian Religion, which, if you don't know, it's a book that's like thicker than the Bible. It's a huge book. And I was like, how do you write that much and only being saved for 3 years? Like, my goodness. Something I think is really interesting about Calvin is he had 500 gallons of wine written into his yearly paycheck. But you're like, why would he do that? So he could have people over. I was like, that's genius. Like, we should start something like that. You know, have people over, talk to people about Christ, just kind of enjoy fellowship and stuff like that. I was like, that's amazing. But he wasn't just someone who, you know, liked to have people over. He was huge on educating people. And wherever Calvinism was spread and wherever the gospel was spread, with that also brought along schooling, like English, like writing, like arithmetic, and all those different things. Actually, the first 123 colleges in America can trace their roots back to the teachings of Calvin, because he just wanted to see people educated. I just think it's awesome. A gift that I think a lot of times is overlooked is the gift of encouragement. Gee, we go, oh man, that does not sound as glorious as the other ones we were talking about. But it involves like motivating and encouraging other people. Oftentimes these people are great counselors and they don't give up on people. They have an amazing threshold for patience and dealing with people that are kind of hard to deal with. Barnabas is a great example of this. He was a guy that traveled with Paul everywhere Paul went. When Paul was thrown in prison, Barnabas was there. When Paul planted a church, Barnabas was there. When Paul got rejected and beat up from a city, Barnabas was there being like, dude, we got this, we got to keep going. And so he was just a great encouragement to Paul, and I just think that that is wonderful. Another one that I think is really overlooked, it's kind of the two gifts kind of go together, is the gift of helps and the gift of serving. The gifts of helps is, are you able to work alongside people? I know like a lot of people want this great, huge vision from God of what they should be doing, but also they need people supporting them. I'm thinking of one friend in particular who's got these great, fantastic, like huge ideas of what they want to do for Christ and what they want to do in Santa Maria. And then I have another friend that comes alongside them and is like, look, you want to do this, but in order to do that, we need to do this and this and this and this and this, and then we could probably do this. But there's a lot of stuff that goes into what you want to do. And it's this idea of being able to look at something and go, oh, okay, I'm devoted to that and I'm stoked on that. But how do we actually get that accomplished? And then can help along with that, which is a great thing to have. Oftentimes these people are very, very loyal to like the cause or whatever they're doing. The gift of serving is also very similar to that. They find a great joy in serving people. That maybe it's not, you know, their vision of what, you know, they would really like to do, but they have a great, great joy in coming alongside and being a supporting role, oftentimes behind the scenes. Like the people who set up chairs and like the people who clean and do all that, that no one sees on a Sunday, that no one sees in this, but would be lost without, is a great kind of demonstration of serving. Another gift is administration, which when I first like went through this class and read about this, I was like, administration, that's not a spiritual gift. And then after spending some time in ministry, I'm like, administration, that's a spiritual gift I need because I don't have it and I really, really want it. Are you the kind of person that can look at something and streamline it and make it better? Again, this is usually the kind of person that loves spreadsheets. Can you make a decision and then give direction on what to do and how to accomplish that decision? Do you have a great eye for detail? Again, this is probably the person that likes to correct English papers, where I just like to write and never look at it again, and my wife goes crazy about it. She very much has the gift of administration and is great with spreadsheets and charts and future planning, and I'm like, I need to be more like that. That is genius. I thought of this kind of great idea for this and kind of how to explain the gift of administration and kind of this idea of having an eye for detail and caring about that. When I walk into my closet at home, there's my side of the closet, which has like a dress shirt next to a t-shirt, next to a polo shirt, next to pants, next to whatever, kind of just on the rack all hanging together. When I look at my wife's side of the closet, it's like fancy clothes, not fancy clothes, white, tan, gray, dark gray, black, colors, yellow, orange, red, like light blue, dark blue, turquoise. And I was like, how do you have the time to go through all that? She's like, I just need to have it that way. And I'm like, cool, that's awesome. But she's got that gift and I really don't have it. Another gift is the gift of giving. These people are able to give wisely, to give generously, give eagerly. Oftentimes, they do not want the credit for giving, which this gift has been, I mean, huge and a huge benefit to Element and a huge benefit to Element Youth. This summer camp, pretty much every camp and every summer camp we go to, a couple people will come up to me and they'll be like, how much is camp? It's like, it's $210. And they're like, here's $210. I just want to see a kid go to camp. And that's all we talk about for the whole year about youth ministry. They don't have a kid in youth ministry. They don't really know what's happening in youth ministry, what we're going through, anything like that. They usually like an update. They don't ask for an update, but usually I just give them an update, tell them kind of what happened at camp and things like that. But, I mean, this year we had probably like $500 to $600 donated to camp. Last year we had like $800 to $1,000 just donated to camp just to be like, you know what? I want to see a kid go to camp. And I'm like, you, okay, cool. That's awesome. And they're like, you don't have to tell who. You don't have to have them come thank me or anything. I just want to see a kid go. And it's been a huge blessing to me and to some of the kids in the camp that are at youth group that really can't raise the money and things like that. So that's been awesome. Awesome. And so in this, like if you have a great joy in giving and give freely, chances are you have the gift of giving. And it's one of those gifts that oftentimes isn't really like acknowledged and thanked publicly, but it's a huge blessing to any ministry or any kind of, yeah, it's awesome. One gift is discerning of the spirits. And this isn't like, I see angels and demons and things like that. It might be, but more it's a judge of character. Are you a great judge of character? Can you have a conversation with someone for 5 minutes and then kind of tell their character? Can you tell if they're good, if they're bad, what they're doing, what they're up to, things like that? I had a friend who had this gift to almost an extreme. She'd have a conversation or just watch someone for like 5 minutes from across the room, and she'd be like, that guy's no good. He shouldn't be here. He's no good. And I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, this guy's a great guy. And then like a week later, he'd do something really bad that I was like, oh man, I'm glad I didn't hang out with that guy anymore. And she's like, told ya. I was like, man, that is creepy. But also she could do it, you know, with you know, good things too and stuff like that. It wasn't just like that guy's a scoundrel, but it was, hey, that guy's a really good guy. Give him a break. Those kinds of things. And I was like, that's awesome. And it's a great gift. Oftentimes these people have kind of this felt special kind of relationship to protect the truth and to protect God's word, oftentimes by exposing what's wrong. And they can see what's wrong before anyone else can, and then they can expose that. Another gift is the gift of faith. And in some part, we all have the gift of faith. But there are some people who have just enormous amounts of faith. And when everyone has given up, they're the people that are like, come on! And they still have hope, and they're able to like almost like rally a crowd. They trust God even when all hope is lost. You know, this person views like obstacles as opportunities. And it's just like, you know what, this is a great opportunity for God to show his power and for God to show how much bigger he is than us. And then my last gift that I'm going to talk about is the gift of hospitality. This is the gift to just have people over. Do you love to entertain? Do you like to have people at your house? Do you like to be around people? Do you like to open your homes and have people over for dinner? If you do, you could talk to me. I'd love to come have dinner at your house. But I feel like I'm kind of like this. I like to have people over. I told you a little bit how when I first got married, Haley and I really had to kind of figure out some things. And I was like, yeah, we should have, you know, just have people over all the time. Have people over 2-3 nights a week, maybe 4 nights a week. And she's like, we can have people over once a week. And I was like, wow, you're much different than I am. It's amazing what you learn when you get married. But, you know, do you like serving behind the scenes? Do you like kind of connecting people and friendships and getting people involved with each other? Do you love opening your house and having people over? I know just some people are like that and they love to do that. And some people are like, I don't like people in my house. I like a quiet house all the time. But again, that's you know, different spiritual gifting and different things that we can praise God with and worship God with. And you see that, you know, there's kind of how all these different things mix together. You know, maybe you don't have the gift of hospitality, or maybe you just don't have the place for hospitality. I've got like a one-bedroom granny house that I live in that's like connected to another house. Not a great opportunity for hospitality. I've tried a lot, but not the greatest setting for hospitality. But I like going and talking with people and things like that. So you see how those are kind of, you know, connected and things like that, and how we all serve a purpose and we all have a something to do in this and to further serve God, and how we can all benefit each other to further serve Christ. I think a great way to kind of find out what your spiritual gifting is, if you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know what my spiritual gifting is. Like, I think I connected with a couple of those. Or maybe you're like, I didn't connect with any of those. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You should talk to the people that you came with, or talk to people that know you really well, because they might be able to help you. Like, hey, you do this and this and this. That's what it took. When we went through this, when my wife and I went through this, she was like, you do that. You do that. You do that. I was like, no, I don't. And she's like, yeah, you do. And then like 6 months later, I was like, oh, yeah, I do that. Good call, good call. People around you know you pretty well. They watch. The second is, you know, of course, ask God, pray about it, talk to God about it, read about it, do those things. And then think about, what do you find joy in? You know, do you find joy in doing these things? Do you find joy in helping people through troubles? Or do you have a heart that's just like, you know what, that's your problem, this is what you do, get over it. You know, probably you're not the gift of encouragement. But, you know, where in your life is there, like, already fruit being shown? Are there good things already happening? God is already moving, and you can see that. Again, I mean, this is the last week, but this all, I think, is really, really lived out, and especially like this week and the week of gifting is really lived out in gospel communities. There isn't exactly a chance for everyone to come, all 300, all 350 people that come through Elements doors on a Sunday morning, to use their gift in the 2 hours that we're here. But there is a chance for everyone to use their gift in a gospel community. And that's why we want people to get involved in gospel communities, so you can, you know, take your gift and you can be part of that family that's part of a bigger family, and further serve God and further serve the community and be more effective. And how our gifts and our natural gifts and our spiritual gifts, are really shown in our missional focus and what we're doing in the city for Christ. So that is all of that. I was told to, if you want to be a member, if you would like a member interview and things like that, on the sign-up sheet that you signed in when you walked in, will you please circle your name so someone can contact you and we can talk to you about how you'd like to get involved? If you want to help in the youth ministry, you can just talk to me. That'd be great. I would love your help. Lost a couple leaders last week. They moved. So you just talk to me. We'll find you a spot if you're not crazy. So circle your name and someone will contact you. We'd love to kind of talk to you about that. Are there any questions? Are you sure? Man, told you I was thorough. Nothing?
Well,
I think that is a great thing to bring up in your GC, especially if you're involved in a GC. I think that's a great aspect to be like, you know what? I feel like this is my gifting. How can I serve you guys? How can we get together and kind of do this, especially with your missional focus? You know, what needs to happen in this? And how can I support the missional focus? You know, maybe you're not the spearhead, but you're the people that's really supporting that side. Or maybe you're the person who can spearhead the thing and no one is taking leadership in your group. And you're like, I don't know what to do. I could do this. Step up and do it. And, you know, really take an idea and go with that. Especially if you know that's your gifting and that's what God has called you to do. I mean, talk to the leader in your group and say, hey, this is what I'd like to do. Or maybe, you know, that's not you. Talk to the leader in your group and say, how can I better serve the group? And how can I better serve Christ? These are my gifting. Or this is my gifting. 'Cause maybe your GC leader doesn't know. Maybe he or she doesn't see you that often. Maybe they see you Sunday morning and at their house, and you don't really have a chance to show your gifting. You can talk about all those things. Good question. I should have said the question. Oh, well. I'm too late. All right. Nothing else? All righty. All right, I'll pray. Will you guys pray with me? Jesus, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you that we get to get together, God, and laugh a little bit and have a little fun. But mostly, God, we thank you for giving us gifts. God, you made us, and you made us individuals, God. And I pray that we would long to worship you as individuals, but also as community, God. That we would get together in groups, and we would get together as a body and as your bride, unified through you. And worship you and give you glory, because you are worthy of all the glory and of all the honor and of all the praise, God. I pray that you would be with us as we find our spiritual gifts and as you make that known to us, and that we would be effective for your will. And in Jesus' name, amen.